Haskell, Oakland, California, October 12, 1875. Dear brother, we received your letter last night, and I have risen at the early hour of 3 o'clock to write to you by lamplight. While we were in the tent meeting at New York, I had a dream which has made a deep impression upon my mind. I rose at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I copied it at the Rome camp meeting. I was much burdened over the low, discouraged state of things in New York and in other places. But I could only say, Lord, teach me what I shall do. On Sunday we had a large and respectful audience. The Lord spoke with power through his human instrument, and it was that night that I had the dream to which I had referred. I dreamed that I had come into my tent after laboring arduously in calling forward those who wished to seek the Lord and in reclaiming backsliders. I dreamed that we had had a most interesting occasion. Many souls were seeking the Lord for the first time. Much wearied, I had come into my tent for rest when a man of noble appearance came to my side and addressed me in a serious, solemn manner. He said, You have called the attention of many hundreds of people to important truths. But have you considered the fact that what you have addressed to them is new and strange? Many have been deeply interested and impressed, for the Lord has worked through human instrumentalities to draw men's thoughts from the frivolous things of earth to the weighty concerns of eternity. Some have had ears to hear and hearts to receive the truth. Some in the assembly tonight were hungering and thirsting after righteousness, after a better understanding of Bible truth. They had been inquiring to know what was the truth, and they will report to others the things they have heard at this meeting, relating to them what has most deeply impressed them. But as various things will come in to occupy the mind, the words of life will be forgotten. The result that should follow such labor will be to a great extent lost, unless more thorough plans are devised to fasten the truth upon the minds and hearts of those who hear. Satan is ever ready to catch away the good seed sown in the heart and to sow tares in its place. The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the good seed and it becomes unfruitful. Satan has many attractions by which to allure the mind. Unimportant things are cherished instead of the precious truth of God. Things that will please the fancy and soothe the carnal mind are sought after, and the convictions of the Spirit of God are silenced in the breast. At first, the words sent from God may be received by them as truth, but if the affections are set on the things of earth, the loveliness of Christ will fade from the mind. The truth of the Bible is not popular with the world-loving church members, for obedience to it involves a cross that they are not willing to lift. They turn from Christ to worship man, to extol oratory and brilliant talent. It is like the tithing of mint and anise and cumin, while the infinitely weightier matters of the law, mercy, and the love of God are lost sight of. The world is full of ministers who soothe and quiet the consciences of sinners and church members with their pleasing fables. They cry, Peace, peace, Jeremiah 6, verse 14, and excuse sin, and give their influence to forward, fashionable display and indulgence. They do not rebuke darling sins, and the temple of God is desecrated by the merchandise of buyers and sellers. Suppers and festivals are held, appealing to men to indulge in the gratification of appetite, that the church may be sustained and embellished. Examples are set before the youth directly opposite to the lessons taught by Christ in both precept and example. Those who accept the pleasing fables of this world have characters that are spotted and stained with sin. They go in the broad way that leads to death. There are many who are preachers, but oh, how few who are watchmen upon the walls of Zion. How few realize the sacredness of the office which they have accepted when they became ambassadors for Christ. They are to represent Jesus to the world. The Lord calls for faithful sentinels to reflect light amid the moral darkness of the world, to sound the warning when danger is near, to cry out to the people the time of night. But very few stand as faithful sentinels upon the walls of Zion to fulfill the command, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." Isaiah 58, verse 1. Men are demanded in these times who will not betray the truth, who will not yield to any guide but God. The trumpet must give a certain sound, clear and sharp. The sound of warning and alarm must be given. God has a message designed to arouse the people, and words of solemn importance must be spoken in no hesitating manner. The time of night must be sounded. The cry must be lifted, "The morning cometh," and also the night. Isaiah 21, verse 12. Clear and distinct, the truth must come to the people in the Spirit and power of God, that the church and the world may be aroused from their carnal slumbers. Men must be led to inquire with solemn interest, "What shall I do to be saved?" Acts 16, verse 30. False, unfaithful shepherds are crying, "Peace and safety," to soothe the consciences of those who need to be alarmed for their soul's sake. The voice and pen of God's faithful servants must be employed, that those who are at ease may be aroused with the warning, "For when they shall cry, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them." 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3. None will escape, save those who watch and keep their garments white. You must not only be watching and waiting, but praying and working. The third angel's message embraces more than the finite mind of man comprehends. The earth is to be lightened with its glory. The truth must be published far more extensively than it yet has been. It must be defined in clear, sharp lines before the people. It must be presented in short but conclusive arguments. And plans must be laid that every meeting where the truth has been set before the people, it may be followed by the distribution of tracts and pamphlets. And it may be found necessary to give these away, but they will be a power of good. The discourses given in the desk would be far more effective if reading matter were circulated, educating the hearers in the doctrines of the Bible. God will make many willing to read, but there will also be many who will refuse to see or hear anything upon the present truth. But we should not consider, even think, these cases beyond hope, for Christ is drawing many to himself. There are many who will see no special importance in the truth proclaimed either by pen or voice. But we should not cease our efforts because of this. We should give them a tract or pamphlet, and though it may do them no good, some other soul may be saved through its instrumentality. Publications upon health reform will be received by many who would not read upon any Bible topic. Intemperate gratification of appetite is doing its work of death, and this evil must be met with united, intelligent effort. We should make known to others the ills that result from beclouding the mind God has given us through indulgence in wine and strong drink. The truth upon health reform must be presented to the people, and it will be found an efficient way to bring before them Bible truth. God requires that His people should be temperate people. Unless they practice temperance, they cannot become sanctified through the truth. Those whom you look upon as depraved and hopeless cases, if carefully instructed concerning the result of their unhealthful practices, may become elevated, ennobled, and sanctified through the truth. Through the grace of God, they may be made fit vessels for His service. You should go forth with your hands filled with proper reading matter and your heart filled with the love of God. Many are being drawn by the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will respond to your Christian efforts for their salvation. Many are disgusted with the dry formalism which exists in the Christian world. Many are becoming infidels because they see the lack of true piety in those who profess to be Christians. A good work could be done to prepare the way for the introduction of the truth if decided testimonies were born upon the health and temperance branch of the work. Many of those who profess to believe the truth are lamentably ignorant of the laws of health and need to be educated line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. This subject needs to be kept fresh in the minds of the people. I have been shown that through judicious attention to this part of the work, a large degree of prejudice might be removed from the minds of intelligent persons who have been hindered from a candid investigation of the truth. The matter of presenting true principles of health and temperance must not be passed over as unessential, for nearly every family needs to be instructed on this point. Nearly every person needs to have his conscience aroused to become a doer of the Word of God, practicing self-denial, and abstaining from the unlawful indulgence of appetite. When you make the people intelligent concerning the principles of health reform, you do much to prepare the way for the introduction of present truth. Said my guide, "Educate, educate, educate. The mind must be enlightened, for the understanding of the people is darkened. Satan can find access to the soul through perverted appetite, to disease, and destroy it. One reason that there is not more real piety and religious fervor in the churches is that men are occupied with unimportant matters, and they do not search the Scriptures. They do not meditate upon the Word of God or engage in prayer. People should be aroused to understand that improper food and improper preparation of food have an influence on our moral nature, and they should be taught the necessity of thorough reform in their habits of life. In our first parents, intemperate desires resulted in the loss of Eden, and temperance in all things has much more to do with our restoration to Eden than many imagine. Even among those who have had light on the subject of health reform, inclination rather than principle is often followed, and unhealthful culinary preparations are indulged in. Habits of dress are followed that weaken physical, mental, and moral efficiency. And because of these things, many temptations that might be overcome, the people are not able to withstand. The subject of diet and dress is sadly neglected, and it has not had candid, thoughtful study. I am pained over the existing state of things. I have been informed by my guide that not only should those who believe the truth practice health reform, but they should also teach it diligently to others. For it will be an agency through which the truth can be presented to the attention of unbelievers. They will reason that if we have such sound ideas in regard to health and temperance, there must be something in our religious belief that is worth investigation. If we backslide in health reform, we shall lose much of our influence with the outside world. The discourses preached at our large gatherings should be of a reformative nature. All the talent possible should be employed to set it before the people. Every public effort to bring this matter before the people should be followed up by selling or contributing tracts to the people, in which subjects brought before them in the lectures should be clearly set forth, that the words spoken may be more deeply impressed by the silent agent of truth. Short, interesting articles should be arranged in an inexpensive style, that they may be scattered far and wide. Here is a branch of work in the vineyard of the Lord that has not received the attention that it should have received. I have been shown that where the distribution of tracts has been neglected, that much has been lost. Wiser generalship than has yet been displayed should be seen in the work of the Lord. The minds of the people must be arrested, and their attention must be held, or the seeds of truth will not accomplish what they might if proper care were taken. In comparison to the number that reject the truth, those that receive it will be very small. But one soul is of more value than worlds beside. We must not become discouraged, although our work does not seem to bring large returns. It is written of Christ, "He shall not fail, nor be discouraged." Isaiah 42, verse 4. Shall we talk of failure or discouragement? Let us think of the price our Lord has paid that man should not perish, but have everlasting life. The greatest teacher that ever blessed our world was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We are treated better than was our Lord. Although the greatest portion of the world will reject the truth, some will accept it. Some will respond to the drawing power of Christ. Those in whose hands the reading matter is placed may turn from the light and refuse to obey the convictions of conscience. But the messenger that they despise may fall into the hands of others through the providence of God, and be as meat in due season to them. They will be aroused to search the Scriptures, to pray to know what is truth, and they will not ask in vain. Angels of God will minister to their necessities. Many who are in harmony with the truth, whose hearts are full of peace and gladness because of the light for these last days, have received their knowledge from the pages that others rejected. Those who are susceptible to the evidences of truth will yield to the convictions of the Spirit of God. Like the noble Bereans, they will search the Scripture daily to see if these things are true, and they will be converted to God. We are far behind our opportunities because of our want of faith and consecration. Satan is no idler. He watches his chances and takes advantage of every opportunity to win souls to his side. He constantly sows his tares in every heart that is not barricaded with truth. The people of God are in a condition of slumber. They do not discern what favorable opportunities for winning souls they are letting slip by. I have been shown that Satan is stealing a march upon us. The law of God through the agency of Satan is to be made void. In our land of boasted freedom, religious liberty will come to an end. The contest will be decided over the Sabbath question, which will agitate the whole world. Our time for work is limited, and God calls us as ministers and people to be minutemen. Teachers as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves must come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. There are many who do not understand the prophecies relating to these days, and they must be enlightened. It is the duty of both watchmen and laymen to give the trumpet a certain sound. Be in earnest, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. Isaiah 58, verse 1. We must be on the watchtower to receive our orders from our leader. We must be waiting and watching and working diligently that Satan may not preoccupy the field and bring the issue upon us before our work is done. Satan has his work all prepared that through his lying wonders he may deceive the world. He will bind men in bundles and claim the world is on his side. A corrupt union will exist among the wicked of the earth, and men will be banded together to trample down the standard of righteousness, to please Satan and his evil angels, and to gratify a world at enmity with God and his law. God requires every man to do his duty and to show his loyalty. Satan is inventing every device possible that the people who know the truth may be lulled into fatal security while he summons evil men and evil angels to carry on his schemes in secrecy. But all who seek God with their whole heart will be aroused. Those who love God with their whole soul will keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Some are inclined to think that too great a stir is being made, but in their position of ease they say to the people, "Peace and safety," when sudden destruction is about to fall upon the world. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3. I tremble as I think of the words that have been spoken to me concerning those who do not act in accordance with the truth for this time. Said my guide, "Those who do not arouse will be passed by, and God will move upon men who will respond to his call and carry his work forward and upward." God calls the watchmen and the privates connected with his army to strengthen the outposts, to guard the fort. There are many who desire to know the truth. The angels of heaven are moving upon human minds to arouse investigation in the themes of the Bible. A far greater work will be done than has yet been done, and none of the glory of it will flow to men. For angels that minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation are working night and day. All who will be saved must cooperate with the agencies of heaven to arouse the inhabitants of the earth to the solemn truths for this time. A deep, abiding, heavenly principle must be wrought in the heart by the Spirit of God. A far less number believe in Jesus than is supposed. The devils believe and tremble, and how is it with those who claim to be children of God? We mistake a meaningless, worthless faith for the genuine article. The question is Christ your personal Savior? The third angel's message means far more than we take it to mean. We should search to find out all that is possible concerning this solemn message. The earth is to be lightened with its glory. The angels of God will even now go through our land to arouse the minds of the people if we will cooperate with them. But sad indeed is the fact that we are far behind the providences of God and the work that ought to be done to send the rays of truth to those who sit in darkness is undone. Divine agencies will go before those who go out to work for God. Many are ready to investigate the truth, for angels of God have prepared their hearts for its reception. Publications should be issued, written in the plainest, simplest language, explaining the subjects of vital interest and making known the things that are to come upon the world. The condition of the earth demands that light should shine upon its darkness. Will not the people to whom has been committed sacred responsibilities awake and put away every difference, every jealousy, every misunderstanding, and take hold of the work with determined energy? Satan has his agents everywhere. They are engaged as canvassers, as colporters, and as so-called missionaries. Satan is constantly seeking to so occupy the minds of the people that they will not give attention to things of eternal interest. Every device and deception is prepared to control the minds of men, and if one plan fails, another is presented, and everything possible is invented to cover up the truth and turn the attention away from it by sophistry and falsehood. Those who shall be convicted of the truth will have to meet all manner of opposition. Men claiming to be teachers of Bible truth will assail those who embrace the truth who have no experience in meeting objections, and they will seek to overwhelm them with false statements and wily reasoning. On this account, as well as for other reasons, it is necessary to have publications explaining the doctrines and meeting the arguments of objectors. If those who come into the faith can have a clear statement of the truths assailed, they will be armed with arguments with which to meet opposers and to defend themselves. In defending themselves, they will unconsciously be sowing seeds of truth. Men will misrepresent the doctrines we believe and teach as Bible truth, and it is necessary that wise plans should be laid to secure the privilege of inserting articles into the secular papers. For this will be a means of awakening souls to see the truth. God will raise up men who will be qualified to sow beside all waters. God has given great light upon important truths, and it must come to the world. The precious light of truth is not half understood or appreciated by those who claim to believe it. The theme of redemption is not clearly understood or defined. This subject is important, and it should be carefully and prayerfully studied and brought before the minds of our people and to those outside our ranks. We are not understood on this subject because we ourselves have not made it a matter of study so that we can clearly define our position. Both ministers and people should be educated so that they can teach it as it is defined in the living oracles of God. Everywhere we hear the false statement made that Seventh-day Adventists do not believe in conversion. On this subject also, we can disabuse minds of this idea by publications that will clearly state our position. We should multiply copies of articles, even if at considerable expense, to state the truth on this subject. Everything that can be done in the work must be done to educate the public mind in regard to our true position, that we may not stand in a false light before the people. We have been too narrow in our views concerning publications, but we should be so no longer. We should multiply books on our faith in English, German, French, Danish, Norwegian, Italian, and other tongues, and other nationalities should be enlightened and educated, that they too may join in the work. This will require means, and every child of God should practice self-denial and economy in the expenditure of the Lord's entrusted capital. How inappropriate is it to lavish money on needless trimmings and in purchasing needless luxuries for your home or person? Souls are starving for the bread of life, and we should practice temperance in eating and drinking. For our sakes, Christ became poor, that we, through his poverty, might become rich. We must follow Jesus in his humiliation. All vanity, all extravagance in dress and in the furnishing of your homes must be laid aside that the message of warning may be carried to all parts of the world. The work should move forward with dispatch, for Satan has already outdone us in his preparations to make our work of small effect. This is too painful to contemplate. He will hedge up our way in every place possible, and we must be wide awake, or he will prevail. We must watch, we must pray, and keep our garments unspotted from the world. We have not done what we could in regard to health reform. Every man who teaches the truth should become intelligent upon this subject. Printed matter should be circulated throughout the churches and throughout the world. The sufferings of humanity touch the heart of Christ, and those who profess to have the truth should become intelligent upon the nature of disease, its causes, its effect upon mind and morals. Intemperance lies at the foundation of the moral depravity of the world. Satan is aware of this, and he constantly tempts men to indulge appetite, persuading them that it will be better to indulge than deny themselves. The taste is gratified at the expense of calm nerves and healthy bodies. Eating, drinking, and dressing are made the chief aims of life. Indulgence in unlawful things has become a power to deprave mankind, to dwarf the mind, and to pervert the faculties. Just such a state of things as exists today existed before the flood and before the destruction of Sodom. Dissipation is on the increase in our world. Handbills on which indecent pictures are printed are posted up along our streets to allure the eyes and deprave the morals. These presentations are of such a character as to stir up the basest passions of the human heart through corrupt imaginings. These corrupt imaginings are followed by defiling practices like those in which the sodomites indulged. But the most terrible part of the evil is that it is practiced under the garb of sanctity. Our youth will be defiled, their thoughts degraded, and their souls polluted, unless they are barricaded with the truth. But instead of being alive to the situation, there is an easy, do-nothing spirit among us, and things drift readily into forbidden channels as water flows downhill. But as a people, we have light that we must heed, and do to the utmost of our powers to barricade the souls of our children against these corrupting influences that are fast making the world a second Sodom. The cries of suffering humanity because of the moral pollution and violence and crime that exists have come up to heaven, and we look on in an apparently helpless condition to do anything to stay it. Many realize the deplorable state of society, but because they can do so little, they refuse to do anything. Let men and women rivet their souls to the eternal rock and reach down their hands to help others up out of a perishing world. Christ is the ladder that reaches from earth to heaven, and God is above the ladder. Heavenly angels are ascending and descending as ministering spirits to those who shall be heirs of salvation. They are seeking to do all in their power to aid in the work of reform. You can do but little in your own strength, but God's messengers will unite with your efforts and bring you power from above. You may lay hold on the strength of Christ from above and on your fellow men below you. And if you do not fail or become discouraged, you will see fruit for your work of faith and labor of love. Do your little with faithfulness in the fear of God and enlighten those who are in darkness. You will have to work for some with your utmost vigor, for some are to be saved so as by fire, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted with the flesh. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 15, Jude 23. Those who have talent should be recognized, respected, and encouraged by being set to work to devise ways and means of advancing the cause of God. Matter of a different order than that which has been prepared should be arranged for the press, and we should see that something is done, and that at once. Because of the inconsistent lives of those who profess to be Christians, many are becoming skeptics and infidels, and it is time to lift the banner of truth before the world. Young men and young women should consecrate their talents to the Master, that they may sow beside all waters. Far greater zeal and perseverance should be manifested than has been manifested in the past in making the most of opportunities and privileges. There is work to be done now that admits of no delay. The rays of truth should shine out with steady light into the prevailing darkness of error, for many are uncertain in regard to what is truth. Many, for fear of being repulsed, do not work as they might to circulate our publications. But this is an evidence of pride, and pride must be put away. Precious opportunities are passing away, and not half is accomplished that should be in this advanced state of the work. If our brethren would but consecrate themselves to God without reserve, having faith in God, much more would be done in improving opportunities and in making the most of privileges than has been in the past. Much has been lost because your eyes have not been anointed with heavenly eye salve, that you might discern where God is working, and unite your efforts with His in well-directed labor, which would have resulted in the salvation of many souls. My husband and myself are much worn, but we are doing to the utmost of our physical ability to save perishing souls by pen and voice. We are grieved to see a lack of harmony among the workers. One pulls forward in the harness, another stands still or pulls backward. And this state of things is because they are not meek and humble and pure in heart, as was our Master. The time has come when we are to go out into the highways and byways of life to find men and women wherever we can and bring them into the truth. It is time when the words of the Savior are to be fulfilled. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Luke 14, verse 23. How do the angels look upon our careless indifference when souls are perishing all around us? Many who claim to love the Lord are cold and heartless and have no life in themselves. We cannot drive men into the truth, but we can work earnestly as though the souls for whom Christ died were of some value. Now is the time to work for Christ as though we could visibly behold him, for he is at our right hand to help us. Many who were thought to be discouraging cases might be reached. A man who was breaking stone was obliged to work on his knees in order to attain success, and this is the way we must work. We must weep between the porch and the altar, crying, Spare thy people, O God, and give not thine heritage to reproach. Let not the heathen say, Where is their God? Joel 2, verse 17. We must not think of such a thing as discouragement, but hold fast to souls by the grasp of faith. Do not give up those for whom you are working. Go out in the mountains and seek the lost sheep. They may run from you, but you must follow them up, take them in your arms, and bring them to Jesus. Pulpit effort should always be followed by personal labor. The worker must converse and pray with those who are concerned about their soul's salvation. Those who listen to discourses should see in those who believe an example in life and character that will make a deep impression upon them. It is the life that impresses unbelievers, and is a savor of life unto life, or of death unto death. If these efforts, both by precept and example, do not save, they will condemn. You should talk the truth, live the truth, publish the truth, and send everywhere the light that God has given us so graciously. Publications should be scattered like the leaves of autumn throughout the world. Let reading matter follow the interest that is aroused at our large gatherings. Oh, what unfaithful services have been rendered to the Master by many of his servants! And what an account will those have to render to God who did not lay hold upon his strength and work with his Spirit to save the perishing souls! God would have us bring far more thoughtful intelligence into our labors. We should appoint certain ones to do a certain work and not lay upon one man several kinds of work so that he will not have a chance to do any of it with efficiency. Men should be trained up so that they will be fitted to fill different positions of trust. There are many who do not offer themselves to the work, but wise generals will see to it that those who are qualified for the work shall have a place in it. They will counsel, encourage, and give them assurances of sympathy and confidence. Those who are inexperienced will make blunders, but they should not be cast aside until fully tested and proved, and you know whether or not they can fill the position. We want caretakers in our work, men who will study and pray and execute. Christian gentlemen of good address are needed in the cause. We need men who are men in God's sight, men who have hearts that can pity and feel the woes of those with whom they associate, men who will melt their way into the hearts of the people because the fire of true goodness is burning on the altar of the heart, men who appreciate the value of the human soul in the light that shines from Calvary, men who will not repulse or be repulsed. Men should be set apart and consecrated to the work of taking the oversight of the spiritual interest of our youth in our large gatherings. and ministers who are in attendance should look after the souls of those who need attention in many ways. Those who labor constantly in the meetings should not have their souls burdened with matters that others can do and must do in order to keep their souls from backsliding. Our large meetings are too costly affairs to be rendered inefficient through our indifference and careless. We need live men. And what is it that will keep men alive in spiritual things? It is in finding something to do, in cultivating the gifts that God has given them. In our camp meetings, there is work to be done in the family tents, in social meetings, and with individuals. The social meeting should have our attention and should be well managed that an interest may be maintained appropriate to the occasion. Let there be temperance workers and missionaries in this line, working on all proper both in and out of meeting, circulating health tracts, and canvassing for health publications with zeal and energy. All this is work that presses to be done. As a people to whom has been entrusted great and important responsibilities, we are far behind what we should be. Not 1/20th part of the work that should be done is being accomplished in the ranks of Sabbath keepers. Let more and more knowledge be acquired, and let the light shine forth in clear, distinct rays to those who are in darkness and error. A great amount of light has been permitted to shine forth through those whom God has used as channels for His truth. This light has been imparted to the workers, but there are hereditary trusts to be gathered up, and fresh light is to be given. Let rays of light shine continually, so that the people will recognize and respond, and let glory flow back to God in grateful thanksgiving, because heaven's light has pierced the darkness of error, and the flock of God have been fed, not with fable and tradition, but with Bible truth. The very best effort is now required that the people may receive the light that God has so graciously given.